God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, reading the lessons and looking at an idea for a sermon, I was actually shocked. These are wonderful readings. It's about healing, even amidst our disorder. Yet, when I looked at one of the commentaries, I discovered something that has been running rampant in the church, and it's rather important that we talk about it. The commentary I was looking at was Feasting on the Word, and the first part of it actually goes through and takes a traditional understanding of the Scripture and what that means. It devotes a whole two paragraphs to it. After that, it turns around and talks about liberation theology. Not a very good idea. And not that there's anything necessarily wrong with liberation theology. It's based off of this idea that the poor and the oppressed are important. Christ himself goes through and says the poor and the oppressed of society are important. The woman that came to Christ was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. That dogs has a double meaning. Gentiles were dogs. Gentiles were less than Jews. Here's where liberation theology gets it wrong. In this passage, commentary on this passage, the woman actually states that there's a different way we can look at this passage. We can actually say that it was the courage of the Syrophoenician woman, who not only was not a Jew, but was a woman instead of a man, and actually came to Christ and amidst his sin, reminded him of what his mission was. Do you see the problem with this? You have taken a passage and you have applied something to it that you cannot apply. You have taken a passage and you have disregarded the rest of the Bible. What about the passage after his baptism that says, he was tempted in every way and did not sin? What about the passage that says, he who knew no sin became sin for us? This idea of liberation theology is tied up in social justice. That's not a bad thing. Social justice should be had, should be sought after. The only difference is, we can't do it under man-made laws. We need to understand that if we put Christ first, the rest will follow. We can't sit there and deny the divinity of Christ. We can't make him the author of sin. And we can't say that Christ sinned, because that makes him fallible. That means we do just as well to worship Bob, who, coming or going, is still Bob. But that there is no divinity there. Why would we worship someone that possesses the ability to make a mistake? Why would we worship someone that has the ability to do only that which we can do? Let me give you a different understanding of these readings. Syrophoenician woman. Yes, she was a woman. Doesn't matter. Yes, she was a Gentile. Doesn't matter. What she showed Christ was faith. We just had this after these passages about clean and unclean food. What comes out of you defiles you. What our Christian responsibility is. What if this woman was actually in the midst of a group of Jewish people that weren't sure if this was the coming Messiah? What if they weren't sure that this was the God that they were waiting for? And here, someone who's not their own comes up and has so much faith in what to her could only be a rumor that her daughter was healed. These sayings even echo what we hear in Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet who's proclaiming the coming of the Messiah, the man who will open the ears of the deaf. What did we hear? He opened the ears of someone who is deaf from birth. Now, I can't do that. And I'm pretty sure that Bob can't do that. But I know that God can do that. We cannot allow Christ to be relegated to something as simple as an ideology, making him something that he's not and never was meant to be. Richard Hooker is attributed with this idea of a three-legged stool. And although he didn't really come up with this idea, he came up with the premise for it. But it's simply this. In church history, in church theology, in church ideology, we have a three-legged stool: Scripture, tradition, and reason. Now, our church fathers always understood Scripture to support our reason. Our reason did not trump Scripture. Our reason did not trump tradition necessarily. Yet, today we've heard all kinds of different things. Well, this can't be. Christ wouldn't have known this loving relationship, or Christ didn't eat these types of foods because he didn't know they were okay. Really? I got a newsflash for you. Christ, God, is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. All-knowing, all-seeing, and everywhere at all times. And if he's not, he's not God. Do you get that? To say that this man sinned makes him nothing more than a man. And we have no hope. I want to have hope. I look at what's said and I balance it with what Scripture says. That's what we always need to do. Or our ears will never be opened. And we will never be able to open anyone else's. You stay in the Word, honor God, and show the world what it does not have. Amen.